Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
This is Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, featuring the best of the best from today's conversations, observations, and ruminations, because great radio is still fresh the second time around.
We got to talk. We got to talk football with a man bone that I believe could afford a sports wager or two, but shouldn't be doing that probably based on NFL rules. We are talking about.
Is he bench pressing JJ Jansen right now? That was our question.
We are talking about a man that has joined the top five paid interior defensive lineman in the NFL, and we couldn't be happier for him. And we also could not believe that he is anything but deserving of that after the performance that he put forth last season. He is Derek Brown of your Carolina Panthers, and he joins us for the Mac on the Mac and Bone Show. Derek, congrats on the new deal. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I appreciate that, man. I'm doing good.
We're really happy for you. Fans are happy for you. We're glad to see this get
the
done.
Listeners, the listeners think I'm going to ask you for money for some reason. That wasn't going to happen, Derek, today. I wasn't going to just, in the first question, ask you if I could borrow, you know, $20-$25 or something.
Maybe the fifth question.
Yeah. I'm going to be respectful here of you.
How does it feel? Do you feel different at all? Like, it's that has to be a dream of yours, is to get to that point. I'm not saying the rookie contract was chump change, but does this really feel, does it make you feel different? Does it make you feel like, man, I really accomplished a dream here?
Yeah, man. I think this is was the next step in the dream, and I still feel like, the dream's still being chased. I got a lot of work to go, and I'm still looking forward to just continue what I've been doing.
Derek, we know what money means, but just from the team investment they made in you and the belief they have in you, what's that mean to you as a player when a team will do that for you?
Yeah, man, it's a lot of respect to Brant and Dan, man, and Dave and Nicole Tepper, man, and the organization. I mean, them putting that much faith in me financially, I mean, it's one of those things where, I also want to do good, you want to live up to that.
So you said something yesterday that was interesting, and when you said it, I started thinking, I'm like, yeah, that's 100% right. You talked about how important it is to have continuity on the staff, and you said, hey, I've never even had the same D-line coach for 2 years in a row, and now you will with Coach Wash. But not just coaches back, the whole defensive staff's back, Averro's back. How big of a deal is that? Because it's, the offense is going to change, the system's going to change. I think it's huge for the team, though, that the defensive unit that ranked fourth, like you guys on the coaching side, aren't changing. That's huge, right?
Yeah, I mean, the expectation was always set high. Last year, Coach E came in and set the bar from the top. And, we were able to, have those meetings over and over again. And, what the expectation is, no matter how the season's going. And, I think that's what the guys just focused in on, doing our part, doing our job. The season didn't turn out how we wanted to, but, we're kind of in the same mode right now. Everybody's showing up to OTAs. We came in and we kind of had that same meeting already. And, now we're amongst our groups and, just working out, trying to push for that goal this year, trying to have a better season.
DB, as you can imagine, we've been focused on, Deontay Johnson coming in the draft and what direction your team may go in. And then we had the, Burns and Luvu are no longer here, but kind of lost in all this. And we're fired up for it. I bet you are too. You're now playing next to a guy 6'4", 330, and Ashawn Robinson. How fired up are you to play with a guy that size, that level, just to maul people up front, man?
Man, I'm excited. In our defense, Ashawn, Shy, our room especially, Nick Thurman, LB, Ray. I mean, it's so many guys in our room, and that's what, we were able to stay healthy throughout the year last year, which allowed us to be able to hanging those games to the end.
Derek, what does it feel? I will never know this. I am like a skinny guy, like with no strength, and now I have a gut to go with it. So I don't know what it's like to be a massive, strong human being like you are. What does it feel like when you take an offensive lineman that is also strong and you just kind of throw him, not to mention what you did to Alvin Kamara this year? I had to watch that 5 times in a row.
He just landed.
Like, what is that feeling like? Because most of us will never know that feeling.
Well, I'll be honest, man. It kind of just happens. It kind of just happens. I don't know. It's, almost second nature to, you know, what we do in practice, and then it translates to the game, man. I'd be honest.
It's just your job. You just view it like it's my job to move dudes.
Do you do a lot of talking when you toss somebody like that, or does it kind of speak for itself that you just threw a guy like 10 yards?
Nah, I kind of just toss for itself, man. I'm just, you know, I'll play the game. Like,
God, that's even cooler. Wow. That's even cooler than if you trash talked and acted like it was a big deal. You do it like it's brushing like the dirt off the shoulder, man.
Yeah,
like
dude got shot putted. They can't say anything back to you. How important will Clowney be to you guys in terms of leadership, experience, overall play? How fired up are you for him to join the fray?
Yeah, definitely Clowney, A'shaun, man. Those guys coming in, they got a lot of experience on the belt. Sometimes, and that's what I'm telling. There's a little bit in the dip of the fountain of youth, but it's one of those things that having those guys come in and bringing their experience, from the teams that they've been with, the great players they've been with, it's definitely been something that, I've looked forward to, getting in the building and kind of having those conversations and taking it out to the field when we get to the field section of the OTAs.
We're talking with Derrick Brown, fresh off signing his big contract. Nice enough to hang out with us on the Mac and Bone Show. All right, so a new head coach with the Carolina Panthers is Dave Canales, and we've seen, the videos of him. We've talked with him, and with the vibe we get is this dude is, like Pete Carroll Jr., right? Like, that's who he learned from, but the energy seems off the charts. Is it like how noticeable is his energy, and do you like that? Do you like a coach that, seems like he might have drank 6 Red Bulls? You know what I mean? You like that sort of fire?
Yeah, man. He comes in every single day, and, he sets the bar as a coach, and you got to match his energy. And, I think that's where it starts from day one. And, you walk in the door, and he's already going at it. So it's one of the things that's pretty cool.
Derrick, I don't want to bring up a bad moment here, but your quarterback played at Alabama. You're an Auburn guy. What was did you guys have any conversations about how the Iron Bowl ended last year, or did he stay away from you on that one?
Yeah, we were in the hotel, and him and Bradley Bozeman and me, we were all sitting downstairs watching the game. Unfortunately, we didn't get that thing done, and I had a few choice of words. They had a few choice of words, and then we kind of went on about night for me.
If I was Bryce, I would just say, hey, you know what? Good game. I'd move away from you, D.
D Brown is a gentle giant, though. A gentle giant, man, which I think we love. A lot of people in the text line are saying just how humble and cool you sound, and I think that's one of the things that makes you real likable. I think a lot of us, DB, like if we were – big like that, I think we'd like to think, yeah, we'd be out there yapping to everybody. I think there's a lot of respect we have for the way that
we carry yourself. We do it for you on the radio here.
We yap, and we couldn't do anything to back it up. So I think there's a lot of respect for the way you approach. Have you always been like that? Like, just kind of quiet, let my play do the talking?
Yeah. I was blessed to play in a good system in college. We had, dominant players. Talk to people all the time, it's just kind of one of those things where, you got to go out and prove it before you ever say anything. So, that's just kind of how I look at it.
Is there somebody that you've battled with in the trenches, either college or pro, where you, as big and strong as you are, you thought, man, this dude's got it too? Like who is the strongest, nastiest guy you've had to battle with?
I'll never forget him. I went against him every single day in college, and he goes by the name of Braden Smith, the right tackle for the Colts.
Yeah.
And that was my welcome to the SEC moment for sure. And him and Robert Left picked me up and took me back to my D-line coach on that 9-on-7 rep. And, that's when I kind of had to figure it out. But
Derrick, J.J. Jansen's a close friend of our show. He's on every single week during the offseason. Do you have any tricks that you have to get JJ to stop talking ever?
Nah, I don't think I got that key.
It is noted, Derrick, that JJ usually comes on in this time slot and told us, hey, I'm too busy with workouts today.
Derrick moved him. He physically moved him out of the way.
So I got to come on Friday, but we appreciate Derrick. He found a way to fit us in the workouts. Maybe the long snapper. Do long snappers have to lift more weights than you, DB, or something? What's going on with that?
So we got a few options at times to work out. I prefer to come in and get it done super early in the morning. Other guys prefer to come in, a little bit later. So, this is kind of what your preference is.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's got to drop the kids off probably. Yeah, he's probably doing that or whatever.
She tried to avoid us is what it is.
By the way, DB, a very relatable moment. And I've been telling you all interview, I can't relate to you, your strength and size and all that. But a very relatable moment was yesterday when you were asked at the presser, I think it was by Joe Person, hey, that pool that you said that you guys are going to splurge on for the Brown family to put in the backyard, you know, any bells and whistles on that? And you said, I gotta talk to the wife about that. That was very relatable. I guess it doesn't matter how much money you're bringing in or how famous you are. We all have to make sure the boss at home is approving of things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, when she wants pool, we want a pool. So that's kind of how that works. And, you know, I've been blessed. So, I mean, that's something we want to do for the kids and to have in our backyard. So that's what we're going to do.
Very cool.
All right, man. Hey, man, we're proud of you when we talk about hope and Charlotte athletes going forward and the best of the best. Your name is coming up all the time, man, as a player, as a leader, as a person. So you earn that money. We know you're going to play up to that, man. We're so proud of you. We can't wait to watch you throw more Saints and Falcons and Bucks around.
No, I appreciate that, man.
Thank you, man. Be good. There you go. All right. That is Derek Brown of your Carolina Panthers.
Listen to Mac and Bone every weekday morning from 6 to 10. Instant replay continues with more in a moment. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Instant replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Because great radio the second time around is always twice as nice. This afternoon on the Wes and Walker Show.
Rather Be Golfing writes in on the FanDuel text line at 704-570-9610. Go Scotty. Go Scotty Scheffler. Masters Week, woohoo. This weekend is supposed to be nice both here and Augusta. It might just be on Sunday. I'm ready for it. Brian said opening week of the NFL season is his favorite sports vibe. Panther Bo, I'll go to you on this one, Fitty. What about Sunday morning Wimbledon? Wimbledon final? Is that a good sports vibe for you?
Do you know what they eat at Sunday morning at Wimbledon? This is a great tradition in sports.
Oh, I do. Oh, man. I forget it, though. I'm the one shining moment, not knower. This
strawberries.
Is what I...
They do the strawberries and the cream cheese thing whenever they have, because they have breakfast at Wimbledon from 8 to 9, then the final starts about 9 o'clock our time.
So are you there with the vibe?
Yes, dude.
Okay.
I love Wimbledon.
Okay. So those are a couple. You can let us know your favorite sports vibe again on the text line. Eric says opening day of baseball when they're introducing the Cardinals at home. That's my personal favorite one. Again, Eric writing in on that one. You know, speaking of vibes, Wes was telling me a story during the break about a specific North Carolina specific euphoria that your son got to experience for the first time this weekend. Tell us the story, Wes.
You know, after we did the appearance, we went to grab some snacks to take home to watch the rest of the stuff we were going to watch or whatever. So we go to Krispy Kreme. We go to get some donuts. And so when I get the box, when the guy hands me the box, I feel underneath that it's warm. So I said, oh, snap. I didn't even know they were doing hot donuts right now. I pull over. I said, yo, give me one of those right now. So I grab one. So I bite into it. And, you know, I'm enjoying it. And then, you know, my son takes one And then he bites into it, and he's like, oh, my God. And he's like, I said, yo, man, I said, you never had a hot donut from Krispy Kreme? He's like, no. He's like, I'm about to have my mom stopping here all the time. He's like, I'm going to be going here all the time. And it was just, it was pretty cool that we got to share that, and the fact that he had never had a hot Krispy Kreme donut, and he just thought that it was just amazing.
Yeah, hot. So with the hot and fresh sign, even though I guess it wasn't on.
Well, the thing is, it was on, but we came from the back way. So when you're coming up, you know, from the other direction where it would be on your left,
gotcha,
then you're not going to be able to see it. But if you're coming the other way, going towards Concord Mills, then you will see the hot, because it's ginormous. It takes up the whole entire window of the structure. And so that was the thing. I didn't know. So when I felt under the box that it was warm, I said, oh, snap, I got to have one of these right now. Krispy Kreme donuts, you get them hot. I got to have one in the car.
Did you pull over just off an exit or on the side of the road?
No, just as soon as we pulled off from the window.
Okay.
I said, oh, we're going to find us a parking space real quick so I can have me one right now.
Yeah, B-Rad Malibu is right. Hot now is the only way to go. It's the first
time. It's like the Batman sign.
It is the Batman sign. Everybody comes flocking in from wherever they are, mm-hmm, in order to have a hot, fresh donut. Now, Fitty, oftentimes if you don't experience something and you've never had or seen or whatever before, then Fitty will give you an eyebrow raise and give you a stank face. That's exactly what happened when you said that, Wes. Why the stank face? Are you surprised to hear that somebody had not had a hot and fresh donut before?
At 12 years old, yeah. That's a pretty old age to never have a hot and fresh Krispy Kreme donuts.
Are you questioning the parenting of Wes?
Well, that's because most of the time we don't go to Krispy Kreme a lot of times for donuts, so we hardly ever gone there. Since that one has been open by Concord Mills, we've only been there twice, so or maybe three times, I would say, because most time we go to OMG or we go local for donuts. But if I go to the Concord Mills area to get donuts, I'm going to OMG.
The best part about finding out that you got donuts after you left the event on Saturday was how steadfast you were at the restaurant. Bryce, we're not getting any desserts. We got stuff at the house. We're not going anywhere.
Well,
and then lo and behold, you're eating Krispy Kreme donuts.
First of all, I did not tell him he wasn't getting dessert because we had stuff at the house, because we didn't. So you did not hear that. You're capping.
No.
I told him he was not getting it because it had gotten late and it was time for us to go. And I said, I'm not going to sit around and wait on a dessert. I said, it's time for us to go. But I said, we can grab. Because at first he didn't want to get donuts, but then when it appeared to him that was his only option, then he was like, all right, I'm down. So then I was like, well, yeah, we can grab them and go. But yeah, I wasn't about to get one because we waited so late. Plus, I knew that he hadn't eaten much when we were in there. So I was like, nah, I'm not going to let you waste this dessert either.
Yeah, I remember the first time that I had hot and fresh donuts. I was actually probably in high school when this happened.
That old?
Yeah, I really was. And then me and my buddies, they were saying the same stuff. Yeah, man, you need to go ahead and try this. When the hot and fresh sign is on, we need to go. And so we went, but there wasn't even really one close to us, I don't think, because I think we went to the one in Lenore, which is like, I think, 40 minutes, 35 minutes away from where we grew up. And I know that's exactly the Krispy Kreme that App State students would go to. I don't think they have to do that anymore, but when App State, those donuts were calling, it was always a decision. Are we willing to make this 40-minute drive to go get hot and fresh donuts, or to risk them not being hot and fresh, but just to go get some Krispy Kreme? And then if you pulled in and the hot and fresh sign was on, because you didn't know.
Yeah, man.
You had no clue.
I would imagine if you've got the app, it'll send you an alert when the hot and now sign is on.
You have an alert now?
No, I said I would imagine if you have the app. Because like I said, if I go to the Concord Mills area for donuts, because I really only eat them for breakfast. So if I'm going that way, I'm going to OMG before I go to
all right,
Krispy Kreme.
All right. I'm glad that your son got to have that experience.
Yeah,
though,
man, I was too.
It is euphoric. I also had to have that as well. All right. Derek Brown, he spoke to media yesterday, and Derek Brown got a big old contract, 4 years, $96 million. That news coming in just last week. And we were all very happy to see that Derek Brown got this contract extension, because you didn't have that done with Brian Burns. Eventually that got uglier than it needed to be. And then eventually Brian Burns got traded. We all didn't like the return, but at least you lock in another foundation piece with Derek Brown. Wes, how many more sacks does he need this year and even beyond? Like, what's a consistent number you'd like to see for this to justify him getting paid, or is that the wrong phrase?
No, I think it is the right phrase. I think Derek Brown's a really great player against the run, and I think that he's making his way as a pass rusher, but I think at this point he kind of is what he is. He only has 8 sacks in 3 and 4 seasons, and when you look at the other guys, you know, that are on par with him, because at this point currently he is the 5th highest paid interior defensive lineman. But when you look at a lot of the guys that make the most noise, we can just look at 2023, for example. Christian Wilkins has 9 sacks. Ed Oliver had 9.5. Chris Jones had 10.5. You look at Matt Abuke from the Ravens, he has 13 sacks. And then when you go look at the career active leaders at this point, you know, you got Calais Campbell, the OG, at 105.5. But then, you know, you go down, Chris Jones has 75.5. You look at DeForest Buckner, he's got 61. And so, you know, for your interior tackle, I like a balanced guy. I like a guy that can be equally as dangerous against the pass. And so that's my biggest gripe with Derrick Brown, is only 8 sacks in his career at this point. And, you know, for him to, I think, go to that next level where people are really talking about him as the best in the business and not just saying, oh, he's the best run-stopping interior defensive lineman, you know, I think that he's got to be able to get those sack numbers up. But I think for the Panthers, like I said, they were smart to be able to make this deal for him at this point, because, you know, if you have 100 tackle season as a defensive lineman and then you got 8 or 9 sacks tagged on to that, you're going to be paying him Chris Jones type of money more than likely. And so, but for Brown, I think he's sorely lacking in that department. The pass rush win rate was in the top 20. He was near the bottom at 20, which is respectable, but he's got to start getting home and getting some sacks to take this defense, not only himself, but this defense to the next level as well.
Let's hear from Derrick Brown on whether getting more sacks this season is a specific goal.
You know, I think it just really depends on how the games go, man. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you only get so many opportunities. So, I mean, I think just, you know, it's a focus of mine 100%. I mean, just being a dominant player and being able to write games is a focus of mine. But, I mean, going into the season, I'm not going to abort the defense in order to, you know, try and go get mine. I'm just going to play within the system.
What do you think about the system? Because he's not going to abort his responsibility in order to go after the quarterback and then lose whatever responsibility he's supposed to hold. I thought that was an interesting comment, because he's telling you, it doesn't seem like he's going out of his way to tell you that's why he doesn't have as many. It just is telling you, look, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is the way that the defense is drawn up for me, and this is why I'm holding whatever responsibility I'm supposed to be doing at this time. I thought that was an interesting way to answer that after, because you're right. I think he is a good pass rusher, but you're right. If you look at some of the other guys that are paid this highly, you're looking at a Dexter Lawrence, whose pass rushing grade was 92.6, and he is, I mean, he might have had the best defensive tackle year last year. He was simply amazing. Aaron Donald, Quinnen Williams, Chris Jones, even a Jalen Carter. All of those guys are considered better pass rushers. And then you get to the bottom portion of the top 10 players last year. That's when you'll find similar pass rush grades. But I did think that was an interesting comment from Derrick Brown telling you, yeah, I'm not going to just completely forget about or neglect what I'm supposed to do here just so I can get my numbers up, because I might be successful. It's just like going for a pass. It's like breaking your route as a defensive back. It's the gamble. And then he's saying, well, I can't do that all the time, or else we might get beat for a big play. What did you think about that comment?
I'm only buying that to a certain extent. You know, I get it playing within the defense, but ain't no coach going to turn down if you're able to consistently manhandle your guy and get to the quarterback. And so, for example, when we talk about the reps, because a lot of people like to point to that with the Panthers, he had the 12th most pass rushing reps for an interior defensive lineman. Now, the top guy was Chris Jones at 633. So that shows, you know, the Chiefs playing with the lead a decent amount of time, because we know that they had their struggles this season as well. But you look at a guy like Ed Oliver, who was 539 to his 511, but Ed Oliver comes up with 9 sacks. Mm-hmm. So I think for guys, when they try to say, oh, well, you know, the opportunities got to present themselves, it's like these teams are throwing 35, 40 times a game. So you should be able to, you know, get through there once or twice, at least be getting some hits, but you should be able to at least come up with a sack every other game if you're like that.
Well, I think, too, with Derek, what offsets the other edge rushing performances, because edge rusher, you are trying to get after the quarterback. That's why we have the Brian Burns numbers that we would constantly go to and compare them to the best edge rushers in the game. Derek Brown, it is still, it actually is pretty amazing that he's 12th, you said, in pass rushing opportunities, because the dude played more than any other defensive tackle.
Yeah.
So it's actually pretty nuts, but there is some kind of balancing act that you have. You get a little closer to the scale with all these other defensive tackles who don't have as many snaps, period, as much as you, but they're not taking him off of the field at that size, which is incredible to me. Mm-hmm. You don't see somebody like Derek Brown play as much as he did. And so you're right. There are more pass rushing opportunities than there were for other players on the Panthers defense, because the other guys didn't have as many opportunities as Derek did. Even so, even with Derek playing 90%, you're still 12th. I hope it goes up, because the rate, the percentage is what we could look at. I will say the QB hits are respectable. The hurries are respectable. And I just, even watching the film, Wes, no, he didn't get home, but he really did beat his guy a considerable amount of time. He really did get into the backfield and throw dudes to the side, not only in the run game, but I thought he did so in the passing game. And that's why he does have a high grade. You're laughing at me.
No, I'm not laughing at you.
You are laughing.
I laugh because
though.
Y'all talk about Derek Brown like he's a superhero. Like he's just taking guys and just throwing them left and right. There might be a few reps where he might toss a guy.
But he does.
But y'all talk about him like he throws guys every single rep. That does not happen. Like we embellish a little bit on what he does to offensive linemen. Like y'all act like he just out here just. Thanos out here just rah, 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 just throwing people left and right.
If you are telling me that I think he does it every snap.
And I'm being hyperbolic when I say that.
I don't think he does it every snap. Yeah.
Because I was going to say a good comparison is like Matabuke from Baltimore. They play in the same type of defense. He's a 3-4 defensive end, even though he goes about 310, 320. Now, he had 575 pass rushing snaps to Derek Brown's 511, but he gets 13 sacks.
No, and he was great. He's a better pass rusher.
And he's playing defensive end out there Brown in the third.
I don't think he's a top five defensive tackle as far as a pass rushing standpoint goes. Like in Ed Oliver, for instance, we can remember when he was getting drafted out of Houston. He was such a freak. He was also a little bit smaller. And that's where there was some question as to whether he should be a top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. I think he was selected like number 9. Mm-hmm. Maybe that, I think that's about right. So that's his specialty. That's what Ed Oliver does. And so you have a strength of Derek Brown eating up blockers.
Mm-hmm.
Run stop win rate is through the roof. It's literally the best.
I think he's a power player. And I think that's the big reason why the sacks aren't there as well either. Because when you watch the pass rush, there isn't a ton in his bag like that. Like, you don't see a lot of spins. You don't see a lot of hands with D. Brown, because a lot of his hands is putting them on your chest and rocking you and then doing that. But I think, you know, maybe some adds to his technique and his pass rushing plan, I think, could get him a few more sacks as well.
Yeah, I don't think he does it every play. Well, you know, it's real disrespect about to come when Wes, who sits about 3 feet from me, is smirking and doesn't want to say anything because he thinks I'm so beside myself. A couple examples I can say, there's a few of those where he just thinks I'm so hyperbolic, and it often comes with me liking something with the Panthers or maybe North Carolina or maybe not even so much the Hornets. But with Derek Brown, you're right, it's not every play, but we can go to some of this stuff.
Yeah, he got some plays where he rocks some guys, no question.
But it's even not just even Jags.
Yeah.
It's Chris Lindstrom. Bye.
Yeah, no doubt.
Zach Martin. Bye.
Well, Zach is washed, so it don't matter.
I like that, too. I'm here for that.
60s out here in these streets. He getting 60s I'm here for out that. Here. He washed.
But nobody else is doing that to those guys.
Well, but see, that's the thing. I think, so, you know, and I'm laughing because it's just that every time we bring him up, that's thrown into the cake when we talk about him. But no, the other
and
guys.
That's what he is as a player. That's why he's the
Chris Jones, Kristen Wilkins, all these guys, they're doing the same thing. Matabuke's tossing cats, all these big monsters in the middle. Well, they tossing guys.
Hold on.
No question about it.
Hold on. Like, Chris Jones is better.
He's got a crazy bag pass rush.
Chris Jones is.
But he's got his plays. Argument. If we go look at his best plays, he's got plays where he's taking all pro guards, pro bowl guards, and tossing them by the way.
But here's what I'll tell you. I think this is what you're doing, though. Because I don't watch Chiefs games like that where I see Chris Jones doing that all the time. Uh-huh. I see him beating his man off of the spot all the time.
Uh-huh.
Chris Jones, if it wasn't for Aaron Donald, we'd be talking about him as one of the best defensive tackles ever to play the game, and I still think that's true. Like, Madubuike, what is his size? Like, is Madubuike, I don't even know what it is, but I can't.
He is a very stout young man. He's listed at 6'3", 305.
I can't tell you, like, enough about, maybe he does, but I'm not, I mean, I watch Baltimore, but, like, it doesn't pop as much.
And I mean,
Derrick Brown, like, we know, we have specific plays that we come in here every single day and say, whew, goodness gracious, you just, see him pancake that
guy? But that's just the nature of line play, man. When you have these guys that are at the top of the sport, at the interior defensive line position, that's going to be part of their package, man. When you're talking about the top guys, that's going to be a part of their package where they're going to have their plays, where they're going to put somebody on their butt or their back off a move.
My argument would be that it happens more with Derrick Brown than a lot of others. Dexter Lawrence probably destroys people more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Lawrence is saying, and I'm not, this is why I'm not getting it twisted on where he exactly ranks, because Lawrence is a better defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. The fact that that guy gets as much pressure as he does at that size and is still, I mean, you could say he's the best run defender in the league if you wanted to.
He's got decent balance at this point, because he still, we can't discredit the fact he still finished 20th in pass rush win rate for his position. So that's respectable. It's just now, what can he add to be able to get there, make those plays? Because, all right, so if they don't get as many fourth quarter opportunities, but what about in the third quarter when it's a big third down and the Panthers are still in the game, because they were in a lot of games. So what about in the second quarter, the third quarter, when it's a big third down, obvious passing situation? Can you get there? Can you get me a sack? Can you get the team off of the field? That's where you can make your mark as well. Fourth quarter, yeah, that's fine and dandy when you have the lead, but also you can get those tone setting sacks first quarter. Well, give me something to let the quarterback know, hey, I'm going to be here all day, man. And, So that's the thing for him. And I think he can get there. It's just, you know, my only fear is that he's been in the league long enough that he kind of is what he is at this point.
You can hear Wes and Walker live and local every weekday afternoon from noon to 3. Sit tight and stay locked, because Instant Replay continues next. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken, so maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken, they're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You're listening to Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, because great radio the second time around is always twice as nice. Earlier this afternoon on the Kyle Bailey Show.
Let's bring in Luke DeCock, Raleigh News and Observer, longtime sports columnist, covers the college game, does it well. He's back with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Luke, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm excited about Kentucky coach Matt Canada.
That's good. That's a hell of a way to start. Now, but like, given how long you've covered this sport, you know what's happening here. You know, Cal leaves for Arkansas. Apparently, everybody from Dan Hurley to Scott Drew are telling him no. Maybe they're waiting on Billy Donovan. But what are they doing here? What's your view of Kentucky's predicament right now?
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Kentucky, and this is always the problem with Kentucky, is it's a job you have to want, right? Cal wanted it. Patino wanted it. I think Tubby wanted it, but kind of found out maybe it wasn't his bag. You have to want to be the center of attention. You have to want to be bigger than your team. And there's a lot of coaches who don't want to do that. I think because they've gone from, you know, sort of marquee coach to marquee coach, they don't have that coaching tree. They don't have that sort of coaching tradition. This isn't a line of nine guys descended from Adolph Rupp. So they've always sort of gone for the best available player in the draft when it comes to coaches. And look, I understand why Billy Donovan wouldn't want that job. He's coaching in the NBA. The NBA is great. Same thing with Brad Stevens. He's an NBA GM. You can't beat that job. Scott Drew, I totally get why he wants to stay in Waco. He's got a new building. He's at what's predominantly a football school. It's a great job. I personally, I'd rather coach at Kentucky than Baylor, but you have to want that job. And so I think what they're going to end up doing is they're going to end up getting a good coach, but it's going to be a coach who isn't going to be a popular hire, and he's going to have to go out and win some people over. But, you know, I mean, Will Wade is still out there if Kentucky has an appetite for that. This is, after all, the school where Eddie Sutton got caught sending envelopes of cash to people. Kentucky has a long tradition of bending those rules and having those kinds of coaches. And it's also, you know, maybe they go for a real wild card. I mean, if I were a search firm, which I'm not, I should be, because I would make a lot more money. I would actually, and this sounds crazy, I would actually have Kentucky talk to Steve Forbes, because I think Steve Forbes has actually done a really good job at Wake Forest without being able to recruit JUCOs, without being able to get deep, deep, deep into the portal because of academics. And at Kentucky, if you want to do the opposite of Cal, which was all top 10, top 25 freshmen, go get a guy who knows how to work the portal. Go get a guy who knows how to work the JUCO system. And, you know, maybe if Steve Forbes had made an NCAA tournament at Wake, that's an easier sell. But I think there are some very good coaches, very good recruiters out there who would do really well with that Kentucky platform behind them. And it's just a question of, does Kentucky sort of have the willingness to go for a guy who's not already super popular and already super famous? Because I think that's where they're going to have to end up, and that means getting the best available coach.
Yeah, I think a lot of what you said makes sense. The only thing I'd push back on, though, is that I think Billy Donovan does want the job. Do you need 4.5 minutes to answer the question if you don't have some interest? Because he oscillated back and forth from, well, you know, I love the NBA, I'm committed to these guys, I got a lot of roots in the NBA, but I coached at Kentucky and I know the place and I understand it and I'm really flattered and it's a phenomenal job. And he just went back and he sounded to me like a guy who actually would want the job, especially if he thinks he's about to get fired in Chicago. And I think he should be Kentucky's obvious choice.
Yeah, I mean, if Billy Donovan wants the job, you hire Billy Donovan.
Right.
It's not, you don't need to get paid $1 million as a search firm to figure that one out. I think in the end, the idea of going back to college and the hustle, the grind that requires, especially at Kentucky's situation where you're basically starting from scratch and you haven't been in this game for a number of years and it's changed a lot since you were there, that would give me a lot of pause. I honestly, this comes off sounding horrible. I think Billy Donovan is smarter than taking the Kentucky job.
We'll see. Now, Luke, I've asked this to a few people this week, but I really want your answer. After State was bounced last Saturday night, you know, a lot of folks were talking, players were talking, and DJ Burns said, we changed Wolfpack basketball. And I think historically speaking, that's true. They hung a banner. They won a tournament. It was one of the all-time great runs. But I don't know that we can say that, you know, NC State basketball has been forever changed on an upward trajectory unless Kevin Keese really capitalizes on this. What's your view of how NC State capitalizes on a Final Four run?
Yeah, I mean, they have to. This is the imperative. You've been complaining for years and years and years how you were playing from behind in the triangle and you didn't have the advantages that Carolina and Duke have. Well, now you have that advantage, right? You've been to a Final Four. You've won an ACC title. You can show recruits things you could never show recruits before. I actually pushed back. Jaden Taylor said something about we built NC State basketball. And I said rebuilt, because the reason NC State basketball has always been a thing, even when the team has struggled, is because their fans care so deeply about it. Arguably, you know, I wrote this when Steve Smith made his basketball school comment. I think he was right. I mean, I don't think I wrote this at the time. I don't think there was an NC State fan over the age of 30 who wouldn't trade the entire football program for one more ACC title or run at the Final Four. I mean, that's a deal. You know, those people would make that in a heartbeat, and they should, because it's a basketball school and it cares about basketball. It always has. And so what this does, what this run has done, is tapped into all those reservoirs of deep feeling and history and tradition that have always been there, but NC State has just not been able to sort of leverage or build upon. And now you've got a platform to build upon, but you have to, right? You have to. Adding Brandon Huntley Hatfield is a good start. That's a really good portal pickup as you're losing DJ Burns. They need a high-volume scorer. They need another wing shooter. They have to go out and get not guys that are okay in the portal. They have to go out and start winning some of those portal pickups, which, look, they've done a good job. Jarkel Joyner, DJ Horn and Casey Morsell and Jaden Taylor. I mean, they've done a really good job in the portal, but they got to go get some studs. They've got to get the kind of guys who Duke and Carolina want. And you know, they got Paul McNeil coming in from Richmond County next year. That's a guy a lot of schools wanted. But this is, you know, one of Kevin Keats' biggest problems in his time at NC State has been building momentum, right? They make the tournament in 18. They get shafted by the committee in 19. There's no tournament in 20 when they would have made it. Then you go through a dry spell in 21-22. Now you've got 2 years in the tournament, Final Four, ACC title. You've got something to sell, and you have to go sell it. And that's the mandate now.
Luke Dukak, Raleigh News and Observer, longtime sports columnist. He's with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. You've been around a while. You've covered a lot of things. You're good at contextualizing and situating stories historically. O.J. Simpson passed away today at the age of 76. And in the first hour of the show, for me anyway, as a talker for a living, there are very few stories that kind of leave me wondering, how do you talk about this? And I find myself today looking at the O.J. Simpson death as one of those, because his story is so much unlike anything we've really ever seen in sports. As a writer who tells stories, as you reflect on O.J. Simpson's story today, what do you think?
You know, it's an American tragedy in some ways, even if self-inflicted. I mean, I think my number one reflection is I wish Norm MacDonald were alive.
Yeah.
I mean, that I don't think there's any doubt about that. But you know, it's a sad story of fame and self-indulgence in some ways. A person who got so caught up in his persona, he thought he could get away with anything, and I guess technically did. But, you know, that, to me, it's a cautionary tale of what we do to athletes. We glorify them. We turn them into heroes. We make them into stars. And then, you know, we ignore their very human flaws, which is, you know, they may have a tremendous amount of rage and are capable of committing murder. You know, it's a very, to me, it's tragic. But I do wish Norm were here. I'd love to hear what he has to say about this one.
Yeah, I watched the Norm compilations a couple of times today. No, I don't think anybody went harder after OJ back in the day than Norm MacDonald did. Luke Dukak, Raleigh News and Observer, with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Two quick things. I meant to ask you this when we were talking college basketball, but UConn, back-to-back titles, Danny Hurley, you know, these guys are talking about their places, one of, if not the all-time great team in college basketball. Where do they belong?
I mean, I think they're in the conversation in terms of a one-season group. You know, it's a team that won a title, brought several of those players back. It, you know, had to rebuild a little bit. But when you look at their performances throughout the NCAA tournament, even throughout the season, it's a historic level of dominance, both in terms of sort of old-school wins and scoring margin and, you know, modern, what we know about the game, efficiency margin and things like that. It's a very historic and complete level of domination. You know, and to do it with a roster that changed a lot from winning a title a year ago is pretty impressive. But, you know, it's up there. I mean, analytically, it's one of the great seasons of all time. I'm waiting for the 30 for 30 on how they lost to Creighton by 19.
All right. So I saw you tweet 2 days ago that, you know, you're taking a couple of days off, which, by the way, if that means you're calling us on your day off, we thank you for that. But your attention really turns to hockey the rest of the way this spring. Hurricanes second in the division. They fell to the Bruins, last Thursday. They got them back on Tuesday night, and now they get the Blues tomorrow, and then the Blackhawks coming up on Sunday. So some tough tests coming up, but this is still a really good team. Update me as I honestly really start to dive into the Canes about this time of year.
Yeah, I wouldn't call the Blues or Blackhawks a tough test. In fact, those are two of the easiest games you'll get all year.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of, an intermission for them. You know, they'd like to win the division. That's fine. You always want to perform and win the division. But the reality is they're better off finishing second in the division and playing whatever team finishes third than potentially ending up with Tampa in the first round, which is what might happen to the Rangers. They're playing out the string right now. And so the challenge for them is to maintain a level of intensity that allows them to pick it up when the playoffs start. But not so much that they overexert themselves. These are, for the next little bit here until we get to the playoffs, reasonably meaningless game, which is, look, that's the goal. The goal is to get to this point of the season and not have a lot on the line. Unlike the years as far, you know, going back to 2019, when they were, you know, fighting every point to make the playoffs in game 80, game 81, game 82. You want to get to this point in the season and be able to work on your power play and not worry too much about winning and losing. That changes against the team you might see in the playoffs, like the Bruins, but you know, you're playing the Blackhawks, you're playing the Blues. These are Western Conference teams that are not contenders. In the Blackhawks case, they're barely an NHL team. You're just looking to keep your edge and keep going.
All right, I'm going to be following along with you because I'm completely transparent about this. I can't watch hockey until this time of the year, so I'm excited about it, and I'll try to learn some stuff from you. Thank you, Luke. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, kick off.
Bye-bye. There you go. Luke Dukak, Raleigh News and Observer, longtime sports columnist with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline.
You tuned into Instant Replay when the audio was so good, it has to be heard again. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.